everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
How many buzzer beaters this weekend? Two in this game. And this was huge last night as well. One shush this weekend, one vomit this weekend at least, but the ultimate highlight, Cosmo from three! Yes! That is absurd.
Not bad. Mike Breen would have said, bang,
like with a little bit of vomit in it, Tony.
Eric Reed would have said, no, boom. That's a Miami thing.
The XFL. Look at these numbers. 3.3 million viewers. The XFL viewers 19 years ago, week one, by the way, 14 million viewers. But the AAF last year, 2.9 million viewers. It's possible early ratings don't mean everything, but they don't mean nothing. So there's that to consider. But the important stuff, the kickoff, the extra points, the 1 foot down, the double headsets, and the review transparency with the Xbox controller, and also that, of course. Tim, what did you see week one XFL?
You know, I saw a league, and I'm usually very skeptical about these things. I saw a league that has a chance to actually grow its viewership when people see things like what you just showed with that kickoff play. I think that took everybody by surprise. Seems like it might be safer, much more entertaining than NFL games where you'll watch a game and they'll all be touchbacks. The PATs, you can't kick those. That's a good idea. The transparency, hearing the officials discuss things, and then hearing the offensive coordinators calling plays down to the quarterback and the skill position players. Those are all things viewers love. Now, the NFL can look at a couple of them. They're not going to go near the transparency, but I think it gives you a chance to think this will be fun to watch for a few weeks.
George Sedana?
Call me a cynic, Tony. I do think, as Tim pointed out, there are some good things. I do like the transparency part, but we sure as hell know the NFL isn't interested in that. However, I do think that the play just was substandard. Like, am I the only one? I know it was 3.3 million, and there's a lot of push behind this, both at Fox and at ESPN, but the play wasn't all that good. I thought it was sloppy. It wasn't really competitive in most of these games. I mean, the biggest story in the Dallas game was that their quarterback, who was the backup, because Landry Jones couldn't play because of injury, was an Instagram model or something like that. Like, he had a big social following. To me, that stuff is all on the fringe. That stuff is not going to get real football people to stick around.
Frank Isola, your view, week one?
Well, George, you're in L.A. with the Chargers and the Rams. I'm in New York with the Giants and the Jets. We're used to subpar football. They didn't have any exhibition games. So, you know, you got to give them a chance. I thought it was packaged really well by all the networks. It kind of brought a big game feel to it. I think that helped. I think it was smart for the D.C. team to play in Audi Field, the soccer stadium. The New York team could have done the same thing. Vince McMahon wants them playing that dump, MetLife Stadium. They should play in Red Bull Arena, play in a 20 to 25,000 seat stadium. But here's the thing. Do you know the players? Do you know the teams? That's what attracts us to the NFL. We'll see if it can be sustainable. I'll tell you this, though, Tony, really quick. The McKinsey Global Institute came up with a study a year ago that 40 million hardcore football fans want football after the Super Bowl. Well, guess what? Here it is.
Israel Gutierrez.
What happens when you get football immediately after the Super Bowl and it's not NFL football is exactly what George said. It's not high quality. It's not what you're used to. Even what we've been discussing today and in the weeks leading up to it isn't necessarily, hey, let's watch this because the XFL is going to be great. It's been more like, hey, let's watch this to see if the NFL can use some of these rules and better that game. And I think, and that's the way a lot of people were watching this, whether it comes to the replay, whether it comes to the speed of the game, whether it comes to the kickoff, and all those things I'm in favor of. But in terms of getting me to watch the XFL on a weekly basis, it's not necessarily the time that I want to do it, nor is it the quality of football that I want.
I'll
say this. The quality will get better. This is like a first preseason game, and we know what those look like. But the problem that's been mentioned by a couple of panelists is you don't know the names. And if you don't have star power, that's going to be a tough sell over
George
time.
Dano.
I mean, will the quality get better, Tim? I mean, we're also talking about a sport where they collide for a living. It's a battle of attrition. So we don't know if the quality is going to get better because we're going to have to go down the depth chart some at some point. Yeah, I think this thing, much like the AAF, is going to go downhill eventually.
Yeah, we don't know the names. I was trying to find the names. I went to go look at a box score or something from these games. I didn't see them. Yet somehow Vegas was able to put a line on all these games. Who does that? Who knew not? Minus 9.5 going in. Who knew that? Whew.
Tough loss for the Renegades.
We'll move on. Shushing your home crowd. Let's talk about that. That's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him. Joel Embiid says he wants to be the good bleep hole. Sixers 2-0 since they hit soft bottom, but yesterday versus Chicago. Frank, can you shush your home crowd?
It's not smart to do. And, you know, the crowd in Philadelphia, I think they're getting tired of hearing about the potential. They're now basing it on results. And at home, it's a very good team, 24-2. On the road, they're 9-19. And this is a year where a lot of people thought maybe the Sixers could take that big jump, be a contending team. Right now, they're in fifth place, which would mean they would start the playoffs on the road. And like I mentioned, 9-19. He's going down a bad road here. I think the fans might be getting a little bit tired of hearing about Simmons and Embiid. They want to see them perform.
Is Rui Gutierrez?
See, to the fans, the good bleep hole is the one who goes after the opponents and doesn't really matter what they say in return or what the league says in return. The bad one is who goes after his own fans. And when you are Joel Embiid, who's been disappointing, and what do you have confidence because you're coming off of that one win against Memphis when you lost three straight against Eastern Conference opponents that are in the standings are higher than you? This doesn't seem like the right time, the right place, the right city necessarily for him to be this. And so I don't know if he's going to win in this battle with the fans, but it seemed odd for him to go.
I'll say this about shushing. I don't think it's ever good to shush. The only around the horn panelist who shushes is Plaschke. It hardly ever works well for him when he does it, if you think about it. But in this case, Embiid, look, with a dunk, a three-pointer, a block, he can win the fans back pretty quickly. The surprising thing is, as Frank said, this team is the best team in the NBA at home, and they're getting booed at home. What if the fans had to watch him on the road? What would they think of that?
And George Sedano, how'd you see Embiid shushing the home crowd last night?
See, Tony, I don't think it's a big deal. I completely disagree with the guys. Look at the game that Shaq criticized him. After that game, he had one of the best games. Like, I feel like he needs that extra motivation. And whether that's antagonizing his own fans to get his own engine revving, like, so be it, right? Like, whatever he needs to do to get himself going. Let's not forget, he's also tight with Jimmy Butler, who also feels like he needs to do things his way. Jimmy happens to be in a culture that they don't care if he's the big bleep hole because they embrace that. Eric Spoelstra told me the other day, he's our kind of crazy. So maybe Embiid wants to be the guy to set the precedent in Philly. Like, it's going to be my way or the highway because it doesn't feel like Simmons wants to
take
the reins.
When you hear George say Embiid needs that motivation, that external motivation, what do you think?
His way or the highway. Here's a guy that can't play playoff games because his knees bother him. He's got a stomach ache. Come on, George. It's not about saying it. It's about actually going out there and doing it. He was just 6-for-26 on the road against Milwaukee. He was 1-for-11 against Boston. He doesn't get it done on the road. That is the problem with him.
Gutierrez.
And what is the precedent we're setting here exactly, that he can rev himself up by going against the fans? I mean, I'm sure in Philly they'll lean in and they'll just argue right back, but really that's not something that we see regularly.
Donald, I'll give you the last word.
Go ahead and do that.
I mean, look, for all Isola said there, if you look at when they were on the court, him and Simmons, on and off the court, when Embiid was on the court without Simmons, there was a better plus minus when it was just Embiid than there was Simmons recently. So I would go with Embiid being the guy who's the centerpiece of that team.
All right. We'll move on.
Hopefully he plays.
Shush! Duke UNC. Frank, you hate it when I do probabilities, so the probability of your blood pressure rising here is high. But look at this. This is incredible, surreal combo events to finish this game. That inbound with no foul call. And then, of course, not one, two buzzer beaters in this one. What are we talking about here?
Two buzzer beaters.
Israel. What's your takeaway?
I mean, look, this is amazing. This is perfectly timed for college basketball, frankly, yeah, because it hasn't been the greatest season. It hasn't been a bunch of eyes on college basketball like there was last year with Zion. And I missed the ending, but I was sort of following it on Twitter, the end of regulation, and then started watching overtime and then missed the end of overtime and was kicking
my... Wait. How did you miss? What are you doing? What type of trigger handle do you have on the remote?
You changed the channel for one...
Okay, yeah. We're changing the panelists right now. Tim Kalish, how about you?
Just two great plays at the foul line by Duke players. The first one, you hardly ever see guys who are trying to miss do a good job of it. It's hard to do.
Yeah, that was a good one.
They usually hit it off the backboard, or they don't get the rim, or they hit it the wrong direction. That was a great play. But then the second time when he misses and he's not trying, the tip back by Wendell Moore, that's a great tip out, not knowing where the ball is going to go, and he ends up being the guy who's in position to win the game.
Madonna?
I was watching this game and I was yelling at North Carolina, what in the heck are you doing? With 8 minutes to go, Cole Anthony, Keeling and Pierce, on three consecutive plays, just did stuff that was mind-boggling. Just contested shots, turnovers, and let's not forget, with 2 minutes to go, Cole Anthony was going triple-teamed. Like, he went 1-on-3 that cost him a possession in that particular situation. And then the free throw line just destroyed them, 21 of 38. To me, this is North Carolina. You've had a bad season. Well, this is just an amalgamation of all that stuff.
You said you were watching the game, which is interesting, because you didn't turn it off when there was a buzzer beater, and then maybe...
No, I did not turn it off.
What are you doing? And how do you even admit that? Frank Isola, how about you?
Yeah, 8 years ago to the day, Austin Rivers of Duke beat North Carolina on a buzzer beater. That is an absolute freak show. And I remember, vaguely remember Duke doing this to Maryland at Maryland. I believe our colleague Jay Williams was on the team at the time. If you're at North Carolina, and we heard Roy Williams say, it's the least talented team I've had in a long time, well, come on. They were good enough to get a lead. They have to close out. They have to execute. Some of that has to fall on coaching. But Carolina's had a brutal year. That ranks up there with one of the worst losses they've ever had in the regular season.
Israel, this is one of the worst arguments you ever had in the regular season. You want to pick up the pieces?
Well, I'll give you a better argument for why I didn't watch any of it. Those uniforms, man, they're terrible. Put a little effort into those things. Who wants to watch that?
They were two
overtime and all that.
All right. Warm up top.
You said this got you in the mood for some college basketball. You know, we had the reveal of the bracket, the preview to the peekaboo to the niblets of whatever it is. What did we think? Baylor overall number one, Gonzaga, Kansas, San Diego State in the East?
What?
In the East.
What?
That doesn't mean anything, though, right?
Plenty of tickets
playing
available.
The first two games out West anyway.
Yeah.
All right, I'll wait on your bracket picks. We'll have buy or sell next.
We're coming.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Team USA Olympic finalists chosen. The final list is 44 deep. Are we ready? Adebayo, Aldridge, Barnes, Beal, Booker, Brogdon, Brown, Butler, Conley, Curry, Davis, DeRozan, Drummond, Durant, George, Green, Harden, Harrell, Harris, Hayward, Harvard, Ingram, Irving, James, Kuzma, Leonard, Lillard, Lopez, Love, Lowry, McGree, it was spelled wrong, Middleton, Oladipo, Mitchell, Paul, Plumlee, Smart, Tatum, Thompson, Turner, Walker, Westbrook, Derek White. That was astounding television here. Astute observers will note no Zion, no Ja, and no Trey. What are you doing with this list of 44, George?
I'm selling it, Tony. Like, look, I know that there are some guys who went through the difficulties of having to play in the World Cup qualifying team, but let's face it, some of those guys like Derek White, no offense, doesn't deserve to be there over Ja Morant. Like, Ja Morant is already a top five point guard in the NBA. Like, there are guys like that who are on this last team that don't deserve to be on this particular roster, especially over young guys. We've always had young guys, even going back to Christian Laettner.
Tim Kalisha?
I'm just wondering if the host ran out of breath when he got to W, and maybe Zion Williamson and Trae Young.
Okay,
you're saying they're not. Okay. Then I'm with Sedano. I mean, it's usually the older guys who say, no, I don't want to do the Olympics. How do you start out with those guys with no De'Aaron Fox? I mean, they've got to be top 44.
Israel Gutierrez?
Should we not be rewarding the people who didn't play, the players who didn't play in the World Cup, and they're automatically going to be on this list? I say you go for the young guys. They haven't turned you down yet, at the very least, and you know they're usually.
Wow, listen to Gutierrez there. Frank Isola?
Yes, thank you.
Izzy's 100% right. De'Aaron Fox bailed out on the team. Derek White participated in qualifying. That's why he's part of it. But how about the fact that at this stage of the game, it's all hands on deck. We're so desperate. We need 35-year-old LeBron James to bail out the national team. Right. Give me LeBron. Give me Steph Curry. I'll take 10 other guys and we'll win the whole thing. I don't even care who they are.
We'll move on. Andrew Wiggins, first game as a Warrior, his best shooting game of the year. And the Warriors lost. Minnesota Timberwolves, their first game without Andrew Wiggins. Their best game of the year, period. Beat the Clippers by 27. Tim, which first impression meant more?
You know, I got to think it's Wiggins, actually, because you look at him and how he plays, and then you try to say, what will he look like on a good team next year, and he might fit. Minnesota hit 26 threes. All of a sudden, they're going to be the greatest three-point shooting team in history, practically. I don't think that's going to happen.
He's real.
Yeah, James Johnson was pretty inconsistent with he was a member of the Miami Heat, so I'm not going to expect him to do that for the rest of his time in Minnesota. I do think with Andrew Wiggins, the biggest question mark isn't going to be the offense. He's going to have games where he can do that. It's going to be defensively. If they go small, will he be able to play the four man? Even just the better wings, the better threes in the league, will he be able to defend them to that high level of Warriors expectation? That we have yet to see.
Right, guys, Sola?
Once the Warriors all come back healthy, Andrew Wiggins will be the fourth best player on that team. When he was the third best player in Minnesota with Jimmy Butler, they were the third best team in the NBA until Butler got hurt. I love this move by the Warriors. It's going to work out with Wiggins.
George Sedano.
Yeah, it's a smart move, and I think it shows coaching, right? Like, here's the difference. Ryan Saunders is a young coach. Steve Kerr is a veteran coach who's won championships. Look at the kind of looks that Andrew Wiggins was getting in that particular game. They're basically having him play the Harrison Barnes role in this particular offense moving forward. I think he's capable of doing that.
And I think you had the T-Wolves as the third best team in the NBA when it was the third best in the West, Frank.
West.
All right, well, East, West, you don't see region. We'll move on. It's been 3 days since the goal 10, but we're going back in on it. Let's go.
We get into the last play of the game, and they miss an easy call. And then they tell us it's an easy no call, like that was obviously not a goal team. It cost us a f***ing game.
Switch the D, drive, and looks like it should have been a goal 10. It should have been a goal 10.
An incredible call. Just listen to this. An incredible call from Ryan Rucco here. So refs fully admitted. They said they couldn't review it because the goal 10 wasn't called. And the NBA called it an incorrect call in the last two-minute report. What type of beef do the Blazers have, Israel?
I mean, absolute prime beef. Look, if I'm what I want in these situations is I want an official to go rogue and say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and review this, change the call, get the game right, then have the league or somebody else send a two-minute report about how I did my job wrong and see how many people are on that official.
With you. Israel's on fire by herself. Frank Isola.
2 years ago in a playoff game, not a regular season game in February, LeBron did this to Victor Oladipo and it didn't get reviewed. Why don't you have some type of trigger in place when on a play like that, wait until the first whistle is blown and review it? That should have counted for Oladipo 2 years ago, should have counted for Damian Lillard on Friday.
Tony, I'll take Israel's beef and step it up a notch. Wagyu beef. He's got Wagyu beef with the NBA right now. How about physics, right? Physics tells you that ball was messed with by Rudy Gobert. And look, it just one of those situations where they were good in this sense. The NBA allowed him just to vent, didn't fine him. I actually give them a lot of love for that particular instance.
I hear you
because
you
know what? He deserved to be upset.
And Tim Kalishaw.
The NBA has reached the point the NFL is at on fumbles, where if officials don't call it and let the play out, they can always go back and say the guy was down. So they do that. Here, if you don't call goaltending, you can't do anything about it. And the ref just said, yeah, we didn't see it. Sorry, you lost another game, Portland.
George Giordano, Tim Kalischer, you're going to love those scores for your season-long points per game, but it's not enough for showdown today. Israel Gutierrez.
Have some Wagyu beef.
Behind an enormous buyer-sell run from Gutierrez and Frank Isola trying to go wire to wire in showdown next. I thought you were beyond meat, Sedano.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Gutierrez, Isola, good luck in showdown. That is just a dagger there. What a shot. The last shot, quote, the last shot didn't lose us the game, end quote. Rockets, big man, PJ Tucker. Israel, can you say the last shot didn't lose you the game when the last shot's a buzzer beater?
No, you absolutely cannot. And further, if you are PJ Tucker, you have to give credit to a difficult three-point shot that loses you the game when your whole offense is built on one dude hitting three-point difficult shots. Come on, man.
And PJ Tucker made the shot from the corner that had given the Rockets a lead. So he's thinking, I'm going to be the hero. And then he was the one defending on that final play along with James Harden. PJ Tucker, I hate to break it to you. That was the shot that lost the game for you.
It's tough.
Don't be
a mistake. It's tough for a big man to go out there, hit three, and then come back and try to defend the three. The big man, PJ Tucker. Point, Israel Gutierrez. Showdown two, Cosmo the Cougar. BYU's mascot. We showed you this earlier. This is a three-point dunk for all intents and purposes. Cosmo's dunk team throwing him from the three-point line. He catches it and throws it down. More credit to the Cougar who dunked it, Frank, or the humans who threw the Cougar in the air.
Are you kidding me? The risk is all on the mascot. I remember an All-Star game in Phoenix. They were using a hydraulic system, and the mascots were dunking from the three-point line. That was off the charts. That's a great dunk. A 10.
No, you got to give credit to those humans who launched them up there. Imagine that in the NBA dunk contest. Forget about holding the ball and spinning around a little bit. You got to throw the competitor up there. That's the type of challenge that I want to see.
They could throw you over the backboard, though.
Point, Frank Isola. We'll move into showdown three. Russell Wilson's new look. Kind of a Bond villain. Kind of a boy band look. Israel, are you signing off on this?
I'm signing off on it for several reasons, one of which is somebody who's not very comfortable with the way his hair growth is happening on national television. I like him leaning into it. I actually have more to say if Frank doesn't actually win this.
That is a good-looking couple, needless to say. I think he looks good. He's got a little Prince look to him, John Stamos. Plus, it's the offseason. He can let it grow. Once he puts that helmet on, hair's going to get messed up. Go with it, Russell Wilson.
Prince John Stamos is an incredible quinella there for Frank Isola. I heard your tease, Israel Gutierrez, and I reward your tease. I'm inclined to want to hear some more here. Let's go, Israel Gutierrez, 30 seconds.
Well, this was... Before Bong Joon-ho made his Oscars kiss, this was my favorite moment of the weekend, was looking at this picture. It's because, man, if I've said anything to anybody over the years, it's embrace your inner dork. And I believe that Mr. Wilson has embraced his inner everything. And the fact that he can take his hair, do whatever he wants to in public, and knows he's going to get mocked for it, knows he's probably going to think it doesn't look good, and he doesn't care, that's the type of attitude I want in all my public figures, especially the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. Because John Stamos, that's not a bad thing to look like, by the way. You know? That's a compliment.
That's a good look for you. You
I'm
look
sorry
good right
about
there.
This hair.
We dedicate today's show to the memory of Mona Leger, mother to our Miriam Leger, grandmother to Olivia Leger, a source of light and soul. We love you, Miriam.